These are the 10 players who benefited the most from the NFL draft, and we're starting with number 10, Keon Coleman, because it was no secret that the Buffalo Bills needed help desperately at the wide receiver position. If you've been paying attention this offseason, they traded away Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans, and then all they really did was go out and sign Mac Collins. Okay, nothing crazy, 1 year, $2.6 million, and their big signing was Curtis Samuel, 3 years, $24 million. And look, I personally like Curtis Samuel. He's now reunited with Joe Brady. He was with Joe Brady during their time with the Carolina Panthers, but Samuel is no number one wide receiver. This team desperately needed help, as you can see right here. Outside of Curtis Samuel, they had Mac Collins, they had Justin Shorter, who they drafted last year, and then Khalil Shakur, who's been coming on, but all these guys are like wide receiver two or threes at best, so that's why they went out there and got Keon Coleman, that they hope can be their number one receiver, because he brings a dimension to this wide receiver room that none of the other guys do, and that is size downfield. Now, Coleman spent 3 years in college, so he's an early declare. He's only 20 years old, so there's a lot of improvement that can still happen to his game progression. Didn't do much in 2021, didn't play. 2022 was his big year at Michigan State, puts up nearly 800 receiving yards, a career high, outproduced Jaden Reed, the Packers rookie from last year, who was really good. Yeah, he actually outproduced him in 2022. And then he transferred to Florida State last year in 2023, and he led the team in receptions and receiving yards while competing next to another NFL receiver now in Johnny Wilson, who was just drafted by the Eagles. Now, the biggest question for why Coleman probably didn't go in round one, but he went pretty dang close, is because of his speed and what he did at the NFL Combine. Coleman ended up running a 4.61 40 time at 213 pounds. Now, believe it or not, for his size, this is actually above average. So I do believe the speed concerns were blown out of proportion, but they do make sense because if you're a downfield receiver, it helps to have speed. But it's not as pressing when your wide receiver room already has speed if you're the Bills. That's not what they need in Keon Coleman. Sure, if he gets better, they're great, but Khalil Shakur ran in the low 4.4s at the Combine. Curtis Samuel, years ago, ran in the 4.2s. They have their speed guys already, and that's not even to mention what they have out of the backfield and at tight end. So Coleman definitely benefited from the NFL draft in his landing spot. He's set up to potentially be Josh Allen's number one receiver. Now, the number 9 player on this list is Devin Singletary, the New York Giants running back, because right now he's looking like the clear-cut guy. You can see the Giants draft picks right here. I believe this is courtesy of NBC Sports. They did not draft a running back with their day one or day two picks. Day one, they get a wide receiver, Malik Nabers. Okay, they're not drafting a running back there. Day two, which is round two and round three, they end up going out there and they get a safety and a cornerback. So nothing here. Even in the fourth round, no running backs. And if you don't recall, Devin Singletary did sign a 3-year deal this offseason, and there's honestly a decent amount of guaranteed money. Almost $6 million a year is pretty solid for the running back position, and he gets $9.5 million guaranteed at signing, which is definitely above average. They signed him to be an RB1. And all of their offseason moves back this up. They didn't get anybody else in free agency of note, and they didn't take a running back in the draft until round 5. And that running back was Tyrann Tracy, and he's probably immediately going to be the biggest competition for one Devin Singletary, because look at the rest of the running backs in this room. Gary Brightwell hasn't done anything in his short NFL career. Eric Gray couldn't even get on the field last year when they needed a backup for Saquon Barkley. So Tracy is going to be the RB2 here. I don't really think he threatens Devin Singletary, at least to start the year, but I would say out of like all the fifth round picks that you could potentially see, Tyrann Tracy would be one guy who can actually get some work. Because I call Tracy the most dynamic running back in the NFL draft that I personally watched film on earlier this year. And the craziest part is he spent his first 4.5 seasons, because he was in college for 6 years, believe it or not, as a wide receiver. Tracy added 15 pounds of size heading into 2023 and put up 716 yards while leading the entire Big Ten, averaging 6.3 yards per carry. I mean, this dude has legit skills, but so does Devin Singletary, and he also has the experience and trust factor. He's now reunited with his former coach from the Bills, Brian Daboll. And real quietly, all Devin Singletary does is produce. You can see right here, his last 3 years in rushing yards, over 800 yards, and when you factor in the receiving yards of over 200, basically on average each year, he's had 1,000-plus total yards in 3 straight seasons. Coaches trust him in pass protection. They trust him not to fumble the ball. They just trust this guy. So much so that in the Texans' 2 playoff games last year, where you have to trust your running back, they gave it to Devin Singletary, giving him 30 of 34 opportunities, and he played 72% of the snaps. Now, the number 8 player or players who benefited on this list takes us to the Dallas Cowboys backfield. Now, surprisingly, the Cowboys, even though they had all these draft picks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 draft picks, they did not take a running back, and you could have argued that that was their top 1 or top 2 need heading into the draft. So the current running backs in the Dallas backfield are going to benefit, and we'll get to those guys in a second, and they benefit even more because of how the draft started here. You could see a first round pick, Tyler Guyton, so they get an offensive tackle, probably going to play left tackle, and then in the third round, I think they get a lot of value here when they go and get a guard in Cooper Beebe. So the offensive line gets a nice little bolster, which helps those running backs. So basically this offseason, the Cowboys have let Tony Pollard walk. They did not sign anybody of note, bring in anybody new in free agency or the NFL draft. So what is their backfield? Well, it's going to be 2 guys, and we can start right here with Rico Dowdle, who's the guy who got re-signed to a 1-year deal this offseason. He's been in this backfield now for a handful of years. And I mean, he was pretty good last year. He averaged, if you look right here, 4.8 yards per touch according to Player Profiler, but yards created per touch, what he was doing on his own, when you factor in his broken tackles and his explosiveness, he ranked top 10 amongst all running backs in yards created per touch. And right when the NFL draft ended, he really didn't have any competition. Deuce Vaughn, an undersized second-year player. Malik Davis has never panned out. Then there's a bunch of other running backs in this backfield. An undrafted free agent, Snoop Connor, a running back from a couple years back. Royce Freeman, a veteran. Just nothing really here. Until today, until this morning, when the rumors became true and the Dallas Cowboys brought back running back Ezekiel Elliott. This was probably a handshake deal that happened before the draft. Once they knew they were getting him, they're like, we don't need a running back in the draft. Jerry Jones got his guy back. He loves Ezekiel Elliott. We don't know what the guaranteed money and all that is right now, but all we do know is Ezekiel Elliott is a Cowboy again with no competition in his backfield. Like, yes, Rico Dowdle is there and will earn touches in this backfield, but Zeke is back with Jerry Jones still the owner. Yeah, Zeke's going to be the RB1. And as of this recording, Zeke is still 28 years old. And last year when he actually filled in for the New England Patriots, he was solid. Like in week 14, he came on towards the end of the season even more when Ramondre Stevenson was out. He puts up 29 touches, 7 catches in this game, and 140 total yards. I believe this was like a Thursday night football game. I remember just going crazy for Ezekiel Elliott. Now, overall last year, he wasn't all that efficient. He averaged like 3.5 yards per carry, but he still showed that he could be productive in spots. Zeke averaged 4.1 yards per touch and caught 51 balls, which was the 12th most at the position. So Zeke is definitely a major winner. And now this takes us to our number 7 beneficiary, and it's going to take us to the Bengals backfield. Because the Bengals had double-digit draft picks. They had 10 draft picks, and they said, you know what? We're not spending a running back draft pick on day 1 or day 2. Or you know what? We're just not even going to do it at all. No running backs drafted in any of the 7 rounds with their 10 picks. So that helps the current Bengals running backs, and so does this right here. Their number 1 pick, 18th overall, offensive tackle Amarius Mims, who is arguably the best run blocker in this class because he is a freak. Mims out of Georgia is 6'6", okay, real tall, 340 pounds, absolutely insane. Then you go over here, and his speed for his size is 94th percentile. Ran a 5.07 at 340 pounds. He is the number 1 graded offensive lineman in terms of athleticism in this draft class, at all positions in this draft class for his size, and top 10 all time in terms of athleticism, according to Player Profile, at the offensive line position. Again, I said he's a freak. He's a freak. Now, I say all that to say that you get this monster as a run blocker now. Of course, it's going to help the Bengals running backs. And there are two guys that I want to touch on in this backfield. There's the newcomer, Zach Moss, who this offseason, because reminder, if you're just getting back into things, Joe Mixon is now a Houston Texan. He's no longer on the Bengals. Zach Moss was signed a 2-year, $8 million deal, $4 million per year. But look at this right here. The guaranteed money is only $3 million. This is not anything crazy. This is not, oh, you're definitely going to be our starting running back money. You're going to be involved, but it's not guaranteed you're the starter. Now, don't get me wrong. Zach Moss did start last year, 2023. Great. When Jonathan Taylor was getting through his contract dispute and ramping back up, he had 4 awesome games. That's Zach Moss. Moss averaged 129 yards per game in the 4 games to start the season. But then Jonathan Taylor got his rollback. He got his money as well. And Zach Moss just became a backup and ended up ranking just 29th in running back efficiency to end the year. So just average. And now here's the guy I really want to talk about. It's second year running back Chase Brown out of Illinois, where at Illinois, he was as productive as ever as a receiver, as a runner. And then he went to the NFL Combine. And just look at this. According to Player Profile, just everything for his workout metrics. Bench press, 25 reps, great, 86th percentile. Burst score, speed, everything is elite for this guy. He's a great athlete. He's dynamic, he's explosive, was productive, and he looked good as a rookie. Like overall in his rookie year, yeah, he didn't see a lot of touches. He was a 5th round pick behind Joe Mixon, but when he got work, he was dynamic. Brown averaged 5.8 yards per touch on his 58 touches. I mean, that is absolutely great, almost 6 yards per touch. And if he actually qualified for this to be a ranking, he didn't have enough touches to qualify, he would have ranked top 10 in yards per touch. You can call that running back efficiency as well in the entire NFL as a rookie. So between these two Bengals running backs, I actually like Chase Brown more. I think he'll go later in fantasy drafts, and he definitely has more upside and dynamic ability. Now we head to the number 6 player or players who benefited the most from the NFL draft, and it takes us to the Chargers backfield. Because the Chargers did not spend a day 1 or day 2 pick on a running back, so that is the first 3 rounds of the NFL draft where you'll see the most competition for touches out of those guys. They have more investment and more money baked into them. None of those guys were added. Which means that the current running backs in this backfield, the veterans that were signed in Gus Edwards and even J.K. Dobbins, and yes, if you're just getting back into things, this is the Chargers backfield. These guys from the Ravens and Dobbins and Edwards are again together in LA. And these former Ravens and now Chargers backs are going to benefit even more because with a top 5 overall pick, the Chargers go out there and get Joe Alt out of Notre Dame, the best offensive lineman, best offensive tackle in the class. And this guy, like Amarius Mims earlier we mentioned, is different. So is Joe Alt. He's definitely one of the best offensive tackles that we've seen in a while. And look at this right here. I mean, this guy's just a freak out there. He's 6'8". Like when he's out there, you can see a noticeable difference. 6'8", and despite being that tall, still goes out there and shows great speed for his size, 5.05, and then The agility. The agility is the big thing that you'll see on tape. Elite agility, you'll see him being able to get to the second level, being able to go vertical, be able to go horizontal across the line and pick up blocks. So that's going to help those guys in the backfield. Now, I have to say, the Chargers did end up drafting a running back, but it was later on. And that would be Kamani Vidal out of Troy. He was a fifth or early sixth round pick, actually. So he lands in the sixth round. Shouldn't be a threat right away, but out of all the sixth round picks you will see at the running back position, Vidal might be a guy who can actually see some work based on his landing spot and the competition that is there. Because you're talking about J.K. Dobbins off an Achilles injury and had a gruesome knee injury in just 2021. And then you're talking about Gus Edwards, who's now like 29 years old. And Vidal is coming off of a year where he goes out there and he has over 1,600 rushing yards, but he also is able to catch passes. 18 catches, 20 plus catches each year before that. So he has over 1,800 total yards last year at Troy. And the fellow is also a great athlete at 213 pounds. So yeah, I do believe that he's already the RB3 on this team, and he might even compete with J.K. Dobbins, who has now had two crazy devastating injuries in the past 3 years alone. So he might already be the RB2, Kamani Vidal. And then he'll threaten Gus Edwards, who's had his own injury pass. He's coming off of his least efficient year in the NFL last year with the Ravens. I do think that as of right now, Gus Edwards is still the guy. He can still threaten for 10-plus touchdowns easily in this run-first Jim Harbaugh offense. But Vidal is a sneaky option. So those Chargers running backs in the backfield, especially Gus Edwards, benefit. Now let's get to our number five player who benefited the most. And we'll actually stay with the Chargers with Ladd McConkey. Now, Ladd McConkey, he secures the great draft capital. He goes in here and he gets second-round draft capital, early second-round, pick 34 overall. But that's not it, because the Chargers traded up to get him. They said, we want this guy specifically from New England, and they were willing to swap third and fourth round or fourth and fifth round picks with the Patriots to get it done. And when we look at the Chargers depth chart at receiver in a second, you're going to see that McConkey's probably already the number one receiver for Justin Herbert, and he's definitely the best route runner on this team. I mean, because just look at this right here. You have out there Quentin Johnston. He was a first round receiver last year for them. He struggled, just 38 catches last year, was like outside the top 100 receivers in efficiency. Josh Palmer's a fine receiver, but he's like a wide receiver three. Downfield option, intermediate route runner, nothing crazy there. I think overall, Ladd McConkey's a better player. And then after that, you're looking at seventh-round draft pick Brendan Rice. You're looking at seventh-round draft pick Cornelius Johnson out of Michigan, who I think it was just kind of a favor for Jim Harbaugh to go and get him, although when you draft a guy in the seventh round, it's actually worse than them just being an undrafted free agent. They have less flexibility. But besides the point, I believe that Ladd McConkey is going to be this route-running intermediate replacement for Keenan Allen, and Keenan Allen did great things with Justin Herbert. And now if you're a Chargers fan or just getting back into the swing of things, maybe fantasy football, doing some research, you look at his numbers, Ladd McConkey, and say, oh, this guy did nothing. But keep in mind, he went to Georgia. They use a lot of guys there. They use a lot of NFL players there during his time in 2021, where he had 31 catches, 447 yards. He was competing with the likes of George Pickens, Jermaine Burton, who's in the NFL now, Adonai Mitchell, who's in the NFL now, Brock Bowers, who's in the NFL now. And despite that, he still led that receiver room that season in yards, touchdowns, and catches. And then in 2022, he has his best year yet as the number one receiver, 762 yards. And in 2023, he actually gets hurt, only plays 9 games. But before this injury, where he has 30 catches, 478 yards, before that injury, he was the number four receiver in the entire nation in efficiency. I mean, McConkey just checks all the boxes. You could say route running. You can say speed. He ran a 4.39 at the combine. You can just say his IQ, yards after the catch ability. This is a Jim Harbaugh guy, and it's going to be a Justin Herbert number one target. Now we are into the top four, and our number four player who benefited the most from the NFL draft takes us to the Raiders and Zamir White. Because if you look at the Raiders draft picks, they don't spend any early draft capital on a running back. What they do instead is just guys who can help Zamir White, a center in Jackson Power Johnson in the second round, at the earlier second round, and then a guard in the third round or a tackle in the third round out of Maryland. So the offensive line gets better and no major competition is brought in. Now, I must admit, they did draft the running back in round six, and it is Dylan Lobb, who I have to say is an actual threat because of just one elite skill, and that's his pass catching work. You can see right here that Lobb was taken in the sixth round. He's out of New Hampshire, and I mean, when I say this guy can catch passes, he averaged 6.8 receptions last year as a running back and had a game where he had 12 catches and 295 receiving yards. So that is really impressive, but I think that's only going to make him threaten as like the RB2. Again, he was a sixth round pick. He did it at a small school in New Hampshire, because right now the only other competition that was brought in besides a sixth round pick and Dylan Lobb was Alexander Mattison, who was signed later on in free agency. And here's what their actual coach Antonio Pierce said about the Mattison signing. We were talking about depth. At some point they can come in and give us that jolt. That was when he was asked about the Alexander Mattison signing. So he basically said this guy is a backup. He loves Zamir White. Zamir White is the guy based on everything that has happened this offseason for the Raiders. And now you're talking about a team, and really like the only team in the NFL draft that failed to get a quarterback. Their quarterback, after signing him to a 2-year deal with some decent guaranteed money, is going to probably be Gardner Minshew this year. It'll be between him and Aiden O'Connell, but it seems like Gardner Minshew is the guy. So they're most likely going to lean on the run game. Maybe it means less red zone touches for Zamir White, but more overall rushing attempts. Because his coach Antonio Pierce was like visibly upset at press conferences last year where Josh Jacobs or Zamir White didn't get 20 plus carries in the game. So they're going to give him a lot of work. And look, White's a good running back. We actually got to see a glimpse of it last year. And this is a guy who's a bigger running back, 215 pounds, and ran a 4.4 at the NFL combine a few years back. And over his final four games last year, when Josh Jacobs was hurt, White averaged 20 21 carries, 114 total yards, and 15.2 fantasy points per game. He was a top 20 running back in fantasy all four of those weeks and finished in the top 12 to end the season over that four-week span. Now, before we get into our top three guys who benefited the most from the NFL draft, and these guys are going to just skyrocket up rankings now heading into the fantasy season, I got to let you know about the Fantasy Blueprint. It's pretty simple. If you want to win your fantasy league, this will help you do that all throughout the summer and then all throughout the season as well. This is not just a, oh, we'll help you draft. No, it's all the way up until your fantasy playoffs. This is the goal. Over 1,000 people used it last year to make their fantasy playoffs. And now here's the thing. It's only $10 for the entire season. So like what, $1 a month, if that, in total. And if you don't make your fantasy playoffs, it's just risk-free. You get the $10 back, no questions asked. Just reach out and say, hey, Sal, I didn't make my fantasy playoffs. You get it back. But just as a tease, over 98% of people did not reach out last year. So if you want to support my work and grab the blueprint today, you can scan the QR code on the screen or click the link in the description below to take advantage of this limited time offer. Now, the number three player who benefited the most from the NFL draft takes us to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers backfield in Rashad White, because look at this right here. In the first three rounds, so day one and day two of the NFL draft, no running backs were taken. Now, in round four, running back was taken, but honestly, for me, it was probably the best running back who can land here because it was Bucky Irving out of Oregon. And if you watched our videos before the draft, you know that Bucky Irving absolutely terrified me, and I really did not think he was going to be a threat to any major NFL running back. Because plain and simple, Bucky Irving has a couple of things working against him. First off, he's just 5'9", 192 pounds, so he's a smaller running back, but of course, guys like Devon Achane was small last year, and he benefited, but he had elite speed, which Bucky Irving does not. Because at the NFL Combine, while weighing 192 pounds, where you should easily be able to run in the 4.4s and probably the 4.3s and maybe the 4.2s, Bucky Irving instead goes out there, runs a 4.55, so he's a small running back who doesn't have speed, which doesn't work in the NFL, because if you have no size, you can't run between the tackles. You have to rely on speed to get to the outside, which he doesn't have. So where is he going to win? In my opinion, I think that he's going to threaten Chase Edmonds, who's an older running back now, for an RB2 or like a satellite job on this team. But overall, this is still the Rashad White backfield. And if I'm Rashad White, I'm extremely confident right now because they brought in nobody in free agency. Like I said, they signed Bucky Irving. But after that, you just have guys that you've already been competing with. Sean Tucker, who went undrafted last year due to medicals, didn't really ever threaten Rashad White. Chase Edmonds never threatened Rashad White in any facet, not even the receiving game where we thought he might. Now, maybe his injury last year was part of that, but overall, Rashad White's backfield. Because this is a dude in Rashad White who's coming off of a year where he saw 336 touches and he ranked fourth in running back receptions, second in carries, and top 10 in fantasy points. Now, I do have to note that he did lose his offensive coordinator, who was great last year and helped him break out, in Dave Canales, who has now signed a deal to be the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. So that is something to point out. Maybe that could change some things for Rashad White. Now, with that said, we get into the number two player or players who benefited the most from the NFL draft, and it takes us to the Pittsburgh Steelers backfield. Because these guys in Jalen Warren and Najee Harris arguably benefited the most from the NFL draft. They're number two on our list because no running backs were taken with the Steelers' seven picks, and all that was taken with the first two picks were offensive linemen. Zach Frazier, a center, and Troy Fatanu, a guard out of Washington in the first round. So their offensive line that was 11th in run blocking last year is now again going to threaten to be a top 10 unit. So now we've made it the entire offseason, and they really haven't brought anybody in to compete with these guys. I mean, really, the only guy you can say that they brought in is Cordarrelle Patterson, who's like 42 years old, and I wouldn't even consider him a running back. Like, yeah, he got some running back carries with the Patriots, and yeah, he was used as a running back with the Arthur Smith, who loves to run the ball with the Falcons, but I think they're bringing in Patterson more so because of the new special team and kickoff return rules. Now, both of these guys are going to benefit in Warren and Najee Harris, and they both found success in their own ways last year. Jalen Warren saw an increased workload and was more efficient with 210 touches. He ranked 7th in yards per touch, averaging 5.5 yards per touch. He was number 1 in juke rate and 5th in broken tackles. And then there's Najee Harris, who was nowhere near as efficient as Jalen Warren, but he still was productive, 1,200 total yards. They still were giving him touches out there, and you can see right here, he was actually 4th in breakaway runs, so he was explosive last year, 15 or more yards. Now, I'm expecting a similar split heading into this year, both guys to see 200 plus touches or so, and I think Jalen Warren is still the more explosive back. And beautiful people, we have done it. The number one player who benefited the most from the NFL draft, drum roll please. And I give you Xavier Worthy, the Kansas City Chiefs' new receiver, maybe even their new number one receiver for Patrick Mahomes, a type of player he has not seen since having Tyreek Hill. The Kansas City Chiefs took Xavier Worthy in the first round, and they traded up with the Buffalo Bills, giving the Bills, I believe, a third round pick, swapping some picks to get Xavier Worthy. That's how much they wanted and got this guy. And trust me, Xavier Worthy is elite. He was a producer all 3 years at Texas. You can see right here, as an 18-year-old true freshman, he goes out there and earns a 30% target share, nearly 1,000 yards. Then 2022, dealing with a backup quarterback, still a 29% target share. And in 2023, with increased competition, Adonai Mitchell was there, who went in the second round to the Colts. JT Sanders, a tight end, Jatavion Sanders, went in the fourth round to the Panthers. You get a 1,000-yard year, 75 catches, and a 26% target share, elite. Now, Worthy's only 165 pounds, so people say that's a con for him. I get it, but he probably just lost some weight to run a faster 40 time because he ran the fastest 40 time ever at 4.21 seconds. And now this Chiefs offense has something that they really didn't have reliably last year, and that is speed downfield. MVS just wasn't it. Now they have Xavier Worthy, and they also signed Marquise Brown to a one-year one-year deal, who, believe it or not, if you don't remember, also ran in the 4.2s, a 4.27 at the NFL Combine. They finally have this elite speed. And look, overall, Worthy is definitely going to have competition. It's not like he's coming into a barren wasteland at the wide receiver position like Ladd McConkey was to the Chargers. There is Marquise Brown there. He is a proven veteran. He's getting a little bit older, and he's just on a one-year deal, so not a lot of commitment here, but I think he's legit competition. There's Rashee Rice, although Rashee Rice is about to face a suspension, and Rashee Rice does not really work downfield, or at least he didn't as a rookie, and didn't with all that much success in college, I would say. So Xavier Worthy is kind of in this unique role now to be like a Tyreek Hill type player, to be young, to be really dynamic, knows how to get open, and knows how to produce after the catch. And I think that's what we're going to see from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They're going to scheme up plays where he can use either choice routes or just big, long routes over the middle of the field where he can win with his speed. Now, I would be remiss to not mention what many of you are probably thinking, but Travis Kelce is still there. And I agree. Travis Kelce is still the number one option on this team. He is about to be 35 years old this season, and he slowed down a little bit last year during the regular season. So do keep that in mind, of course. But yeah, he's still out there. But again, he's not going to win in the same spots like Worthy will, which is downfield, big plays for fantasy. That's what we like to see. So a first round wide receiver that the Chiefs traded up for is now paired with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, had the fastest 40 time ever, and was productive all 3 years in college. Yeah, I think Xavier Worthy is the number one benefactory from the NFL draft. So these have been the top 10 players from the NFL draft. We're going to have more videos coming out, a lot more stuff going in depth on fantasy, dynasty rankings, early season long rankings as well. So if you want to get that fantasy blueprint, be sure to do so right now with the QR code on the screen, or just click that link in the description below. And I'll see all you beautiful people in the next one.